Today's shir is Yevamos, Yud Beis. In the last shir, we got up to, on Yud Aleph, on the Beis, up to by the first wide line. So we're going to pick it up, discussing the case of a Yibum. Do we do that after the death of the Machzir Grushos? So it says like this. Omer Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Rabbi Yochanan Boy, this whole question that Rabbi Yochanan is asking, Hamach Zegrushos Mishani says Tzarasamahu. So what's the din by the Tzara? So even though we had basically the exact same question beforehand, the Ritva is explaining, no, that this really is a new question that's getting off the ground here, whereas we're asking even according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, who held that the whole pasuk talking about Tumah, that it was okay and that's not the right place, maybe do we have a different reason? Tzarasamahu. So Omele Rabbi Ami. And the question is, if you're asking for the Machzir Grushos, no, ask about the woman herself, meaning ask if she needs Yibum when the husband dies. Amalei Rabbi Ami, Tiboilach Higufa, I'm sorry, Higufa lo Kiboili. I know. He or she is not a question, meaning of course it's also, that's not a question. The question is by the Tsar that we're asking. Damrina, can we say like this? Is there a Kal v'chomer? Now, why are we using a Kal v'chomer over here? Maybe we'll say from Rav Chanan in a minute. As to, normally we've been using psukim over here, but here it's a svara. B'mutter lo asura. So if the one who's mutter to her is asur, then also lo lo kol shekein. So certainly, right? Meaning, the one who was originally her first husband, once she's a machshir who's also, she's asur to him, but then so certainly to the one who was asur to her, her brother, the Yavam, so certainly she should be asur to him. Ki komi boi li, tsoras mai. We're asking the question is about the tzara. Mi alim kal v'chomer l'midche tzara olo. Do we use this kal v'chomer that's strong enough? By the Lashon alim means like is it good to puzzle the tzara or not? So obviously the grusha herself is certainly going to be potter from Yibum. But the question is, can the kal v'chomer, can we use that on the tzara, meaning the kal v'chomer is like this: since she's osur to her own husband, so then how much more so kal v'chomer she should be osur to somebody else. And this is a conceptual question. There's a Rashi in the beginning of Sota that the Achronim point out. How do we view this Yibum? Is he his own new person, or is he, so to speak, like stepping into the brother's shoes? In other words, he's filling the gap in them, but it's not really, it's like a continuation, or it's based upon that. So therefore, that would make a difference as to how we understand who he's allowed to live with. So here we go. Oh, that's version one. Okay, so version one of it, that what we're asking is the tzora of the machzir grushoso, does Yibum not? Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Masni Hochi, learn a little bit different of it, like Omer Rabbi Yechia bar Abba, boy Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is asking a different case. Hamachzir grushoso mishenise smahu. So is it she herself? Does the machzir grushoso, does she do the Yibum, right? So Omele Rabbi Ami, tiboy loch tzoroso. You're asking a question about the tzora. Tzora lo kiboy loy. I don't have a question about the tzara delo alim kal v'chomer l'midche tzara, because the kal v'chomer is not strong enough to apostle the tzara, the co-wife. Ella, rather, kimi boila. Well, the question to me is as follows: he gufamai. What's the din by she herself, by the woman who was again divorced and then taken back? Mi alim kal v'chomer b'makom mitzvah olo. Is the kal v'chomer strong enough in the makom mitzvah of Yibum? Or is it not? So Amalei, so Bami says back to Rechia Bar Abba, Tinisua, we learn like this in a Braisa. Haisa achas kasher v'achas psula, right? Just from last year as well. He say the thing, he has two options. One of the women, is kashera from the mirror, one's psula from the mirror. The imaya choletz, so if he's going to do chalitza, choletz the psula. He should do the chalitza with the one who is psula anyway. Right? For marrying a kohen. Ve'im haya miyabim, he's going to do yibum, miyabim l'ksheira. He should do yibum with the one who is ksheira. So my ksheira, my psula, what does it mean in the braisa when it says ksheira psula? Ilem ksheira, ksheira la'alma. If you can tell me that when it says that she's ksheira, means she can marry anybody, she can marry even kohanim, and psula is psula alma, psula means she's not allowed to marry the kohanim. Kelim l'di chazi, but for she, this guy's a Yisrael. Right, so he's not a kohen, right? So the day Chazia, she can marry him, right? My nafkalemina. So who cares whether you know anybody else? We're not talking about anybody else. We're talking about marrying him. El lav. So, what do you see from this? Kshera kshera le. When we're talking about that she's kshera, that means for him, and psula is psula le. That means she's possible not to marry him. Umaynihu. So who is that case? It must be a case of a machshir grusha, so the one who takes back the woman he had divorced. Piketani, and we learned on this, im haya miyabe, miyabin the kshera. Right, so if he's going to do yibun to a woman he's allowed to marry, so he does yibun with her. So this is answering up the question of Rabbi Yochanan, right? So we have an answer. No, says the Gemara, lo. Kshera la alma, psula la alma. It's not the question of what's kshera lay for him or psula lay. It was for the whole world, meaning is he allowed to marry anybody, right? So this woman who is a grusha, so she's not allowed to marry a kohen. So she can't marry us. That's what it means. So we're talking now about a case where she is not allowed to marry others. Because Amrad, Kevin Delidei Chazia, my Nafkele Mino. And who, when we said, since she could marry him, so what difference does it make? No, Mishum Rabbi Yosef. Because the same thing we saw in the last week's shir, because the din of Rabbi Yosef, the Khan, I shouldn't say the din, the Moser Haskel, the Omer Rabbi Yosef, Khan Shana Rabbi, Lo Yishpuch Adam, may borrow Vachirim Tzrichim Lehem. Don't pour out your water when other people need it. You have a glass of water, you have a cup of water, and you're not going to drink from it, but don't just spill it out. Why ruin it for others? So here's a woman who could marry somebody else, if marry a Kohen, really. So why do chalitz with her and destroy her chances of ever marrying a Kohen, should she so desire? Okay, Tashma. We have a different brisa. So when married somebody else, so both her and the tzara have to do chalitza. So what do you mean? Why is it both? You think they both have to? You never do both of them. You do one or the other. So el emas, you have to change it up and explain as follows. Ohi o tzarasa. Either she or her tzara, her rival co-wife does it. So this shows that both women are not allowed to do yibum because we're doing chalitz over here. Where it says no, v'lav terutza kametartzala. You have to clean it up a little bit. You have to give a teretz to fix it up a little bit. So once you're already changing it up, teretz hachi, change it and amend it to be like this. He chaletzes. She does chalitza. The woman herself sarasa, but the co-wife, the rival wife. She either does chalitza or she does the yibum. So if that's so, then now according to this braisa, we really don't have any raya to answer up Rabbi Yochanan's question about machshir grusho. So I mentioned a few minutes ago, Rabbi Yochanan, right? So he says beforehand we'd had all these psukim, right, about whether it's tumah or not. But here we're using a kal v'chomer. And if once it's based on a kal v'chomer, which is like a svara, then you can have a svara to say the opposite way. Why don't we say nitzvos asay is doich de los asay? So Rav Chanan gives you a sod. It's in Simen Dal Dos Yud. Rav Chanan writes that it has to be at the same time. But idna, it has to come at the exact same time. But here, one of them preceded the other. So once you have one aspect preceding the other, then in that case we can't rely upon a svara to counteract our kal v'chomer. Okay, now the Gemara is going to go on to the third case. Again, the first one we taught was the Tzara of a Sota. We just did the Machzir Grushoso. Now we're going to do the case of the Tzara of a Ma'anenet. So what does that mean? Miyun, let's explain for a little background. On a De'oraisa level, there are two ways that a girl could get married. If she herself is a Gedola, so then she could accept the Kedushin herself. If she's a Katana, so then her father could accept the Kiddushin for her, and that works on a De'oraisa level. Let's say, unfortunately, that there is no father alive anymore, and she's a Katana. So then there is a Kiddushe Miyun. What does that mean? That's the case as follows. The mother or her brother can be Mekadesh her while she's a Katana, but she could, quote-unquote, refuse afterwards. And she says, once she becomes a Bas Mitzvah Gadol, she could refuse the, I don't want this marriage. And then it's Oker Lima Freya. That's going to be an important point, is the one I was going to discuss. It comes out that really this girl was never actually married. She just walks away without a get. We'll see the Rashi talks about it's like a gerushin. The Miyun is like a gerushin. Okay, but That's the whole point over here. So now the Gemara is going to be asking, the question is, what's the din about her tzara? So it says like this, Amar Rav Lili Bar Memel, Amar Rav Mar Ukva, Amar Rav Shmuel. Tzaras Mima'enes Asura. So if you have the tzara of the one who did this miyun, then in that case, she is going to be osir. Leman, who she also to? So Ilim La'achim, if the Havin is that she's going to be osir to the other brothers, that can't be. Hashtahi Gufashari, since she herself is allowed to marry them, right? Domer Shmuel, like Shmuel says, may Ana Bazeh Muteris Bazeh, that if he had a katana, right, and she did the miyun, so she's allowed to marry a different brother of that, right? So then Tsarasmi boy, so if she herself is mutter, so then It's obvious that Tsar would also be. So that can't be the case that we're talking about. Ela l'dide. No, it means about he himself. Meaning since she refused a specific brother, then both her and the Tsara, her rival, her co-wife, are going to be osir to him. Umayshnam menes tisharye la'achin delo abda behu maisa. Right? By this girl who refused to get married, but she's allowed to marry the other brothers. Why? The reason is because she didn't do any ma'isa of them, right? That would take away the chiyuv of doing the ibun. So tzar nami lo avda behu ma'isa. So the tzar also didn't do any ma'isa with them, and therefore she should be muteris to all the other brothers. So it says you're right. It's really a din de rabbanon. It's gezeir mishum tzaras bito m'menes. It's a din de rabbanon because it looks like the tzara's bito, meaning if the girl who refused was his daughter or was any other type of erva, then the tzara would also be osir, right? So then Chazal made all tzaras of the women who do the miyun, not only his own daughter. Vitzara's bito m'enes miyasira. 1 second, is the tzara of the daughter of a tzara who did, is she actually osir? Vatanan, we learned in a Mishnah, Vekulon imesu o me'anu tzorasehen mutaros, right? There's a Mishnah in Daf Beis. All these women, if they died or they did miyun, so then the tzara is mutaros, right? So they're allowed to. Rashi here, 1 second, let's go back to do a Rashi. The Rashi in the fourth skinny white line. In the middle it says, Gezeira de Rabbanan he. This whole thing is a din de Rabbanan. Hoya velo me'ano berishoin. Umikoch nisuin nofel la yisiyabim. Nireis ke'eshes achiv. It seems like she looks like eshes achiv. Lachi amin lakam. That's what it says. Mishas nefila nireis ke'kaloso. Hadashmon perik. Okay, fine. We'll get to that later. It's going to be later on. Daf Kuv Zayin. This is Rashi. We'll see the... Let's hold off on the halacha for 1 minute. Let's go weiter. The me'ana b'man. So who exactly did she do the miyun to? Ileme de me'ana b'ba'al. If she's going to say that it was the husband, meaning the deceased brother, right before he passed away, heine grusha. That's the exact same case of a grusha. And the Mishnah said that if you had one's, your relative was married to them or did the miyun or was divorced, and there's no isser on the tzara, right? So what was it made between miyun versus grusha, right? So love yavim. So you have to say the talk case is that she refused the yavim, right? So if she refuses to just miyun on her yavim, so then that breaks the zika. There's no bond anymore, and her tzara is also no longer considered to be the tzara of an erva, right? So it comes out that the tzara is allowed to do yivam. So it shows there really was no prohibition on the tzara, right, of the tzara who does miyun. Which is low. It's not true. Lo olim b'baal. Really not. It wasn't that she did the yavam. It goes back to the baal. She refused her husband. V'trei gavne gerushin. And there are two types of gerushin. You see, the Gemara is referring to calling this miyun as a type of gerushin. Right? There's a d'oraisa. Okay, that's what they get. And there's the miyun. That's also like a d'rabbanan type of gerushin. U'mayishna kimi ana b'baal. The difference is between the two cases that it's not really a real, it's not a divorce, but we'll call it an annulment, right? And that happens lima freya. So retroactively came out that when she did the meeting, she was never actually married. That's why the tzara is going to be allowed to marry him.
If that's true, then when she does the Yibum on the Yavam, then you could also say that's Okir, the first marriage, right? The reason she can't actually do Miyun on the Yavam, she was never married to him, right? So it comes out that when she does the Miyun on her first marriage, right? So then that Zika that she had with the Yavam, that's canceled automatically, comes out. She was never married at all. And then if she's never married, there's never a Tzara. Okay, so more explains what Shmuel's talking about. Mushum detani Rami Bar Yecheskel. Detani Rami Bar Yecheskel me'ana bebal muteres la'aviv. If she did miyun, right, when she was a katana to her husband, then she's allowed to get even married to his father. Because again, miyun is oiker and gansin. There was no marriage, right, with the son. But yavam, but if she did the, again, that was not the baal, but she did the miyum on the yavam, asur la'aviv, then she is not going to be allowed to marry the father. This is what the Rambam brings down here in Gerushin. Perik Yud Aleph, Yud Zayin. The Rambam writes, "Hame ma'enes biyavam asur la'aviv mipnei sheniris kikaloso be'es shemes b'no." Right, so if she does the miyun with her yavam, so then she's never going to be allowed to marry his father because it seems like it's a daughter-in-law. That would seem like to be what the status was when his son died. Aval but l'shar krovim muteres, but she's allowed to marry any of her other husband's other relatives. That's the Rambam shita. Now the Ramban and the Rashba are cholik. They argue on this Rambam and hold that no, she's actually osir to other krovim of the husband, with the exception of the brothers. Shulchan Aruch and Eben Ezer, he brings down both shitas, but he actually seems to be following the Rambam. Right, the Rambam is finished off. The Rambam says, "Lefikach, therefore, im me'ena be'echad min hayavim muteres le'echo." That if she does yivum with a potential yavim, then she's going to be allowed to marry his brother. So back in the Gemara, it says Alma, right? So it comes out, Meshas Nefila Niris Kekaloso. The time when she comes to false to the Yavam for Yibum, she appears to be his father's daughter-in-law, right? So the time when her husband died, she didn't yet do the Mian, so, you know, for all basic, you know, to outsiders, it looks like this is his daughter-in-law. So it comes out, even though this you know, Kedushin was Durabonon, right? And you know, Joe Schmo doesn't know that. He thinks it's a real marriage Duraisa. So therefore, that's the whole thing the Gemara said. There's a Gezer Mishum Tsaras Bito Amamena. Says that there's this whole Din Durabonon that people won't take it lightly. So Hachanami, so too, the same swarba here. Mishas Nefila Nires Kitsaras Bito, from the moment when the other wife came to the Yavam for Yibum, appears to be like a tsara of his father's daughter. And that's the reason why she's Osir. You know, despite the fact that it really would be mutter on a D'oraisa level. Okay. Fine. So that was the third case. We did Sota. We did Machshir Grusos, we did the Mamenis. So now we're going to do the fourth and final cases of an Islandess. So an Islandess is a woman who is unable to have children. Like an isle is a male lamb, right? So there's something, something wrong with her genetically. Omar Abasi, Tsaras Islandess Asura. So the Tsara of an Islandess is Asura. Shneamar, the Pasuk says, V'haya HaBechor Asher Teili. It has to be the bechor of a woman who can give birth. Prat la'ilanis, this comes to exclude an ilanis, she'ena yoledis, because she can't give birth. All the dinim, all the halachas of yibun don't apply to an ilanis, so she keeps her status as the eishes ach, who's osir, and therefore the tzor is also going to be poteris from doing yibun. Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes asked the kasha from this. Shlosha achim nesuyin, shlosh noshim nachrios. Umeis echa mehem ba'osaba sheni maimer. Okay, so let's explain this case. There are three brothers. There is Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, who marry three women who are not related to each other. So Reuven, the first brother, dies. So now his wife falls to Shimon, and Shimon does something called Maimer. So Maimer is the first time I think we're getting to the Masech. The Maimer is Mem Aleph Mem Reish. It's a Kedushin Durabonon. So now that
Reuben's wife now is with Shimon, but then that's all fine. But then Shimon died. So now what happens? This original wife of Reuben and Shimon's wife both fall to Levi, to the third brother. Now, the problem with that is that this woman already had a connection with Shimon. So the verse is like this. Mace, are elu choletes v'lo misya bemes. In this case, if Maimer had already been done, and then he died before he was able to do the second stage of the marriage, and Levi will do chalitza to both these women. Shenemar, the pasuk says, umeis echad mehem yavama yavo aleha. So that's our pasuk. Mi she'aleha zikas yavam echad velo zikas shnei yavamim. This is talking about the evil only applies when you have one yavam for the brother, but not when you have two yavamim come in. So this first woman, the wife of Reuven, is now fallen to both Shimon and to Levi. So therefore, that putters her tzara as well. The Ketanya, we learned on this, Amr Yosef, Zuhi, the Moses asked, what does it mean? Zuhi, this is the case, the Tzara's Eishes Ach Me'av. This is an example. We have the Tzara, the co-wife of the paternal brother's, half-brother's wife, right? She's a regular Yavama. She Iser Nefila Garamlo. The fact that she fell to Yavam, that's what caused her to become Osir. Right, Shalom Atzinu b'chol haTorah kulu kagon zos. It's the only case you find in this case. You know, she was totally able to do Yibum on a Dilraisa level, right? All the necessary things are present here. The reason why she's usher has nothing to do with her status, but because she came to another Yavam already, right? So the fact that she was not able to do it with with this, but her tzara also, so that knocks them both off. We do a chalitz on both of them. So where does one work? So what does Yosef mean? Zuhi lemutei mai. What's Rav Yosef saying? This is going to exclude. This is the only one, and there's no other cases. Sula miutei tzaras islandus to sharia. Isn't this coming to exclude the case of the tzara of the islandus that she is going to be sharia is mutter, right? No. Again, even if an islandus could marry somebody, right? But she doesn't fall to Yibum, right? So what would that be? Rabbi Yosef's statement of Zuhi, that says that only a woman who has this like double Yibum, right, falling to her, right, but not any other case, that's when the Tzara falls off, right? So isn't that exclusion? So this is low. No, it's not. That's not what the Miyat is. The Ma'ute Tzara's islandness, right, Dasira. It's coming to exclude the Tzara of an islandness, and she's Masur. Umay Zuhi, then what does it mean, Taka, when the Gemara said Zuhi, where Yosef said that? Zuhi de Isser Nefila Garam Law. This is the case where the fact she came to Yom, that's what causes her to become Osir. Tzarasa by Chalitza, and therefore her Tzara needs to do Chalitza, and not really totally off the hook. But in contrast, the case is the islandess. Afilu Chalitza lo boy, even the Chalitza she doesn't need. My time, what's the reason why there's a difference between the two different cases? So the Hawa Deoraisa, this one, the islandess, she on a Deoraisa level is not required to do Yibum. Ha, but the other one, the one who had the two doubled Yibums fall to her, that's the Rabbanan, right? So therefore she has to do Chalitza. Tanan, right? We learned on this for Kulon. All these women we're talking about, Imesu o Meanu o Nizgarshu o Shninsu Islandus, Sorosehen Mutaros. So if any one of these things, if they died or they did the Mion, they divorced, they're an islandess, and the Tsaros become Mutaros for Yibum. So that is against the din of Ravasi, because he held that the Tsar of an islandess is Osir. So what is Lokasha? No, that's not a problem. Kan Jehikerbo, Kan Shlo Hikerbo. One case is where he the husband knew that she was an islandess right before they got married, and he marries her regardless. That's good. He's allowed to. It's not a problem with her. She's not mitzvah on Puravu, right? So then there's no mitzvah of Yibun,
right? Because since she can't give birth, then her tzar is also awesome. But the other case where he recognized shelo hikerbo, he didn't recognize, he didn't know she was an islandess when they got married. They only found out at a later point in the marriage. So in that case, right, you could say that he wouldn't have wanted to marry her. It was mekach tos. Had he known that she was an islandess, he wouldn't have gotten married to her. The whole kedushin was tos, right? So therefore, it's nullified, and comes out that that's the case where the tsar would be muteris. Taikanami, we can be medayik. We can read it precisely and come to the same conclusion. Iktani shenimtzu. It emerged. It came out. You didn't know at that time of that, but it came out from the fact that she was an islandess. Velo katani shehoyu. It doesn't say that she was. Shmamina. Okay, so we learn from this. That's the correct way of learning it. Okay, and there's a little bit of a follow-up before we wrap up this whole section. Omarava. Let me go to Amad Beis. Hilchasa. What's the halacha? In this case, tsaras islandess muteres. The wife, the co-wife, the tsara of an islandess is muteris, va'afilu hikirbo, even if he knew about this, marriage counts, it's good. Va'afilu tsaras bito islandess, and even the tsaras bito, the tsara has an islandess daughter, right, and they recognized it, then she's still not considered to be a tsara of an erva. Ve'elhad ketani shenimtzu. Ah, you had a problem because the diak was shenimtzu, that you know they found out. They found it out, and that's what the whole one is saying, that it makes a difference whether he recognized it before or afterwards. So Tani, you could change it. Shehayu. Fine, we'll just change it. It's not going to be, they were, not a problem. Shenimtzu. He also Ravin Omer of Yochanan. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said over the name of Yochanan, Achas Tzoras Ma'menes, Achas Tzoras Islandes, Achas Tzoras Machzik Rishoso, Kulan Mutaros. That's against the we've been saying up till now. But the halacha is in all these cases, the tzar of the Ma'menes and of the Islandes and the Machzik Rishoso, they are all allowed. They are all Mutaros. Okay, connecting now, once we're talking about Miyun, the Gemara goes on to a related halacha. Tana Rav Bibi, Kaimid Rav Nachman, Shalosh Noshim Mishamshos B'moch. There are three women who are allowed to use like a contraceptive device, a moch, something that prevents her from becoming pregnant. So who are they? Ketana, Mu'uberes, Umenika. A ketana, which is what we were talking about. We'll discuss what exactly age she is. A Mu'uberes, that Rashi points out that if she's pregnant, getting, you know, another child again, that could hurt, harm the Uber. Umenika, and a woman who is nursing. On this is machlokas here on the daf, is to exactly when are they allowed to put in the moch. This is we won't get into so much halacha lemaisa, but it definitely is discussed in terms of contemporary birth control. Read from the sefer Shaar Mitzvot b'Halacha. He says like this. He brings Rashi muteres. Lateis moch b'makom tashmish shehein mishamshos kedei shelot yisabru. V'rumi divei Rashi, right? V'hamoch sham b'shas tashmish. So according to Rashi, it's put in beforehand, before the tashmish, right? Le'elu shlosh noshim mutar. For these three women, it's allowed. L'shar noshim asuros mishum isur hashchach zera. That it's not allowed to for any other woman to put it in beforehand because that would be destroying the zera. Ein tosu shem rabbeinu tam pirush to li tein sham moch kodim tashmish, to put it in before they have relations. She has sham b'shas tashmish, it'll be either while they're having relations. That's also lechol. That's also for everybody. Dein derech tashmish b'kach, because that's not the normal way of tashmish. V'hol kamari, what are we talking? La'acher tashmish nosenes sham hamoch liklo dezer misham. So no, afterwards they put in it's like a spermicide. It comes to take the zera out. V'ze ein iser gam l'shar noshim. For that, there isn't the prohibition for other ones as well. The hara ein mitzvus a puravu v'meila lo husru al hashchachas zera. All right, so then there's no problem with that on hashchachas zera. Ve'elis shalosh noshim diktani mishamshos b'moch ha'ned tzrichos l'shamish b'moch, that they are needed to do this. Okay, fine. So let's continue in the Gemara. It explains different reasons. Ketana, what's the reason why the ketana is allowed to use a moch? Shemet tisaber v'shemet tomus.
She's going to, maybe she'll get pregnant, and she'll die. Neuberis, the pregnant woman, right? Shema ta'ase ubera sandal. This is what the Rashi just said a second ago, that she's going to, it's going to cause, deformed, like a sandal, flat. Minika, a nursing woman, right? Shema tigmo bana viyamos. She's going to get pregnant, and her milk's going to dry up, and she won't be able to she'll have to wean her son, right, too early, and therefore he'll die. Ve'eze hi ketanas. Now, the Brayse explains, what's the ketana that we're talking about? Mibas achas esrei shana v'yom echad ad shteim esrei shana v'yom echad. She's a ketana until 11 years old, until she is 12 years old. We know that that's the bas mitzvah. So interesting, I heard Rabbi Rosner, he was quoting, why is it that a girl is bas mitzvah at 12 and a boy is bar mitzvah at 13 later? So I forget who he was quoting from, but he said it's because Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas Tovara first. She ate first, so she matured first. That's why girls mature faster than boys. Okay, interesting. Pachus Mikan, if she's younger than this, the Osami Alkane, if she's older than this, Mishameshes Kedarka Veholeches. So then she has regular Tashmish, and that's fine. That's the Shita of Rabbi Meir. So again, because if she's 11, under 11, she can't get pregnant, so there's no danger. The Chachamim say no. Achazuva Achazu Mishameshes Kedarka Veholeches. All cases, she goes to heaven, has it regular. Mina Shemaim Yerachamu, and they'll have Rachmanus on her from Shemaim Yishum Shnemar. The pasuk says in Tehillim, Shomer Pesoyim Hashem. Hashem preserves, guards, protects those who are simple, right? Someone like a lashon of pesi, of a fool, person who got the that's a question. The post can discuss when and how much to apply this svara of shomer of what's it called shomer psoim Hashem, the Hashem will protect them. So you have a famous tshuva from Reb Moshe, the idea of shomer psoim Hashem. So the background I'm reading from Rabbi Bush's halacha curriculum. He points out this is Zion Chanukah, Tavshin Chavdal, which would be December 17th, 1963. Now, the Surgeon General's report that came out that smoking was dangerous was less than a month later, January 11th, 1964. But even before the official report was released, the information had been circulating. And as early as 1957, the previous Surgeon General declared that the official position of the U.S. Public Health Service was the evidence pointed to a casual relationship between smoking and lung cancer. But it's still important. Rav Moshe's tshuva is about a month before it was actually formally issued to the public. And to understand this tshuva, the process of educating and convincing the public the dangers, it took a number of years until it was actually viewed as being dangerous, because in those early years, it wasn't viewed the same way that that we have. I think a second tshuva was written to Rabbi Rosner's father, Dr. Rosner. So he writes like this. This is Yoredeya. Beis Memtes. Hine b'davar ishun cigaros. Smoking cigarettes. Vade mikeven sheyesh chashash lehascholot mizeh. To the sickness could come from this. Min haroi laz ir mizeh. It's appropriate to be careful about this. Avalomer she'osr me'isr sakanta. To say that it's actually osr mikeven she'doshu bo rabim. Since many people do this, k'var isa b'gemora, the one says, b'kichei agav, in this case, shomer p'soyim Hashem. Okay, somewhere in Shabbos, he quotes Kuf Chav Tes, Nida, Datul Damet. Beprat shekama gedolei Torah midoros sheovru uvedoreinu. Many people in previous generations and many people in our generation smoke. I remember hearing a Musar Shmuz from Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen Shlita, where he said that you could tell how dedicated the Talmidim wanted to smoke the same cigarette brand that the Rebbe did. The Rebbe smoked Camel cigarettes. The Talmidim all smoked Camel. The Rebbe smoked Marlboro. All the Talmidim did. That's how it was back then. Umimele, continues Reb Moshe, afla eile shemachmiru nechush lahasakana leke iser lifne iver baoshet es eish. Okay, so as much as Reb Moshe strongly is discouraging people starting to smoke, he clearly says it's not the osir based on shomer p'soyim Hashem, right?
And it's interesting, he also uses this like anecdotal proof that many Talmidei Chachamim have and continue to smoke, so then by definition it can't be a violation of halacha. Rav Chaim Oizer, when he discusses this in Achi Ezer, this whole concept of Shomer Pesoyim Hashem, he says, Ha desbir lehu l'rabbonin, v'samchinan al Shomer Pesoyim Hashem, mishum dezeh chashash rachok, u'miyuta demiyuta. So very small statistical approach for using that for smoking. There's more chuvas as well. Rav Voldenberg has in Tzitz Eliezer and Chilik Tesvav Simin Lamites. Rav Vigdor Nevensal Shlita. He says the same thing that Shomer Pesoyim Hashem can't be used if you clearly see Hashem is not protecting the people who are smoking. So he holds that smoking is in fact osur. Okay, let me raise a few more points. I want to just not go too far off the daf. Let's go back into the Gemara now. There's more to talk about here, but about that Isra of Hashchas Zera, who did that fall on? But let's continue. It says the Gemara like this. Midika Amar Shema Tis'aber V'Shema Tomus. Right? From the fact the Brisa says she might become pregnant and she might die, so Michlal De'ika Katana Demi Abra V'lo Mesa. There could be such a thing as a katana who would get pregnant and not die, right? Now it's unclear exactly what the conditions would be for that. The imkein matzino chamosom amenes. If that's true, then you could find a case where the katana might get pregnant, right? Give birth. In the case of the one's mother-in-law who refused the husband, it's possible for the woman to give birth to a daughter while she's still a katana. So if the man would marry off this daughter while she's still a katana, the mother might be a mother-in-law to one who did the miyun. Utanan, we learned on the Mishnah, Iyata yochel loymar bechamoso ve'eim chamoso ve'eim chamiv sheninzu eilinus o she'me'inu. Right, you can't say, there's no possibility in the case of the mother-in-law's mother, or the father-in-law's mother, they could be an eilinus or dumiyum. Right? Because if you, just speaking it out, miyun could only be done by the katana, right? And she can't give birth. So Koy Bazoi comes out, there's a steer between the Mishnah and the Brisa, right? So it says, no, Ema, you have to change it. Shema Tis'abe V'Tomos. You have to change it around. Not that she'll become pregnant. Maybe she's going to become pregnant and then she'll die. I mean, in other words, although it's uncertain whether she will become pregnant, but if she does become pregnant, she certainly is going to die, which means that there's no case in which a katana could give birth and live, right? The Amar Rabba Bar Livoi, Gavul Yeshlo. There's a Gavul. There's a limit, right, for the pregnancy of a young girl. Kodem Hazman Hazeh Einemis Aberes Kol Iker. Before the age of 11, which is the time spring for it to, she can't get pregnant at all. Toch Hazman Hazeh, within this time, meaning from age 11 to 12, he Mesa V'Ubro Mes. She would die, and the fetus would die. The achas manazeh, but after that time, from 12 and onwards, when she's a gedola, he chaya v'ubra chay. She and her fetus would live. Aini, is that really true? V'atoni, Rabbi Bar Shmuel, iata yochel loymer bechamoisa ve'im chamoisa ve'im chamiv shenimtzu alunis o she'ene shme'ena shekevar yaldu. Oh, that's the two words that this adds on. She already gave birth. Shekevar yaldu. So on that's mashma that the katana could give birth, right? Or else we said, you know, they're already mature. Ella, the olam, really, you have to come and say like this: Shema tisabe v'shema tamos. No, maybe she's going to become pregnant and maybe she's going to die. But it's hard because in the Mishnah the Mishnah said that would be an impossible thing to happen. So Amr of Safra. Interesting line here. Bonim harehem kisimonim. So we know that in order for a person to become a gadol, there are two things. They need shonim and simonim. Right? They have to have a certain number of age, and they have to have simonim, which are these certain types of physical signs of maturity. That's how we know they're a gadol. The Ista Amri, and some say bonim adifa misimonim. When a girl gives birth, then that is better than being a simon. The fact that she gave birth shows that she is a gadola. Slamai nafkamina. So what's the difference to whether it is the same as bringing simonim or whether it's better than bringing simonim? Dafil Rabbi Yehuda, because it's even good according to Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, the Amr ad sheyarba hashachor. That we allow the katana dumiyun, right? Even if she says some of the signs of maturity, right? She has a certain pubic hair, but they have to be sheyarbe hashachor, that the black hair is there more than the skin, right? So in that case, even Rabbi Shita bebonim moide, he would agree. He'd be maskim to the case of bonim that she would be a gedola at that point and would not be allowed to do the miyun. Maybe just one little light piece of lundus. What exactly does this mean that we say that this is they need the shonim and the simonim to be a gadol? So it's a classic chakira that they make. Is it a simon or is it a siba? A simon is a reflection of something that's happened. That's how the marik seems to learn. Or is it a siba? This is what caused them to become a gadol. So that would seem to be the opinion of the shita mikubetzis. Okay, that takes us through daf yud gimel. And we'll pick it up next time at the top of yud gimel.